Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me today in the extra hour, here to encourage you, is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Also, in the studio today, chipper and alive, Chris Hamilton.
Hello.
Hey, Chris. You know, if you missed the first hour, you got to catch the first hour. Make sure that you share with your friends. So much is happening where we've talked about the revealing of the strategy that's been really successful. It's a three-prong attack, man. It's going forward, and we're seeing how abortion is coming to an end, and God's really just answering our prayers, and we're excited about the future and what that means to the nation, what that means to the church. Because the first part of the prayer is, dear God, end abortion. But the second part is send revival.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, we need not just a revival, but we need an awakening. The country is ready for an awakening. And let me tell you something. Once you've encountered the glory of God, it's all over. And it's all over. So we're just so excited where there's a huge harvest of souls that are going to come into the kingdom and are coming into the kingdom. And we're excited for what God's getting ready to do and is presently doing in our midst. You know, guys, when you think of the word slave, so many things come to mind. You know,
right.
And especially in recent history and especially American history, you think, man, this is horrible. But, you know, slavery is something that existed since biblical times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the Jews were constantly going in and out of bondage and captivity.
Yeah,
and
right.
And particularly, they were slaves in Egypt. I mean,
yeah. And they had slaves of their own.
Exactly. And since then, and even now, you still see slavery today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is pretty shocking, but there's still slavery today. In particular, in the sex industry, sex slave industry, it's just horrific. If you've never seen Nefarious, there's a documentary movie produced by some of the folks out there in IHOP Kansas City with Mike Bickle. And you need to watch that. It's an eye-opener, and it'll show you how we need to pray not just for those that are being taken advantage across in the world, but here in the United States. But I'm not going to be talking today, and Sharon, we'll be talking today a little bit different about the natural.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about slaves in the spiritual sense, you know, because really there's two types of slavery. You have, obviously, the in the physical, in the flesh slavery.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a spiritual slavery that occurs. You know, you can be a slave of sin. I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
You can be a slave of sin. It happens.
Yeah, we're born into it.
Absolutely. And the devil wants you to come under his bondage, under his dominion, if you will. And so that's one part of slavery. The other side of slavery is that you can be a slave of Christ. And being a slave of Christ leads to freedom. See, a slavery to sin leads to bondage, only leads to bondage and being under the devil's dominion, but being a slave of Christ leads to actual freedom. The question is, whose slave are you?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
Good question.
That's a good question. You know, the word slave means a person who is the property of and wholly subject to another, a bondservant. That's a slave. They're property. A person who entirely comes under the domination of some influence or person. The slave. And many today would say that slavery is wrong, and they would say that they're happy to be free. But when in reality, those same people are most probably 100% bound because they're slaves to sin. Mm-hmm. See, the thing about sin is that sin will enslave you. It will lock you down. And it always starts small. Mm-hmm. And it always starts small. And in the Word of God, in John chapter 8, you know, God tells us that, you know, he goes on to say in John 8:34, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, that everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And the thing about sin is that sin will take you further than you want it to go. It'll make you stay longer than you want it to stay. And it will always make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. That's the whole mm-hmm. thing about sin. You can't wink at it because it will take you down. Genesis 4:6, the Lord said, "Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right," you know, "sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must master it." Sin is crouching at your door. And when you think about sin and the role that it plays in a person's life, because the whole goal of sin is to dominate you, is to put you in captivity, is to put you in bondage, is to put you under the dominion of the enemy. Sin oftentimes, if you are looking at an analogy, it's like how what occurs when someone gets bound by drugs. Mm. You know, it always starts out just a little thing, no big deal. Always smalls starts with a small what they call recreational drug.
Right.
Always starts with a little drink, a little taste.
Mm-hmm.
And that little taste, that little fun, that little high, that was painless. That was fun. I'll try that again. And it begins to snowball. See, even the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. But in the end, it's death.
Mm-hmm.
It's all designed to get you in, get you coming back. It begins to bait you. So you notice that some folks start off with a smaller drug, a recreational drug, or they become casual drinkers or what have you. And before you know it, they're taken in. And before you know it, they just get bound up.
Mm-hmm.
They're totally taken down. I was watching a documentary on drugs, and this young girl was saying in high school, she lived in an affluent neighborhood with, you know, I guess parents that, you know, were working at these great jobs or what have you. And she was living what she considered, you know, to be the American dream life of a teenager, I guess. And she had no needs or worries, but she started using drugs and, you know, in high school party scene. And before you knew it, I mean, it went from marijuana to, first she was doing cocaine, crack, and then meth. And uh-huh. Man, she was just so bound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my heart broke. I mean, my heart just really just ripped to shreds. It was a beautiful girl, you know, a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you, some of these drugs, and particularly meth, I mean, it will disfigure you. It will age you. It just does horrific, mm-hmm. horrific things to your physical appearance. It does horrific things to your body. And let me tell you, that is a picture of what sin will do to your life. Sin will enslave you. It will destroy you. You know, there's a saying is, you can't play with fire or what? You're going to get burned.
Mm-hmm.
See, you can't play with sin. Oftentimes people want to know where the line is, not so they can stay far away from it, but so that they can run up close to it and walk all over it and think that they're not going to fall over. But let me tell you something. The devil doesn't mind giving you a little bit at a time.
Mm.
Little here, little there, little here, little there. And listen, drug dealers have been known to give away drugs, so that the person gets so bound and hooked, they have you running and begging back for more. The devil doesn't mind you enjoying a little sin a little while.
Oh, yeah.
And making it available for you, because he wants you to come under his domination, for you to become a slave, a spiritual slave bound. to sin. And today people are bound by so much sin and so many different types of sin. We can't name them all. But they're bound to lying. I mean, if someone is bound by a lying spirit, I mean, almost every other word comes out of their mouth is just a lie. They just can't help it. They believe their own lies.
Right.
They're bound. Greed, immorality, all kinds of lust for money, for power, for sex, all of it. Idolatry, which is a worship of self. Bound. Slave, property of another. And there's no freedom in that. Because the thing about sin is that it only leads to more sin. It just becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. The veil over your eyes becomes thicker and thicker and thicker. And you actually become so deceived to think that what you're doing is okay. There's nothing wrong with it. And that, you know, God's okay with it. We talked about beginning of the this week about, are you really a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really a Christian? And how sometimes people that don't know God will begin to start praying and asking God to bless them and asking God to, you know, shower all these blessings upon them. And we equated it to someone who is trying to get benefits from a job that they don't work at. It's like, how can you claim benefits here? You don't even work here. Now, for our employees, see, I don't see you with the badge. Nope, you don't have the badge. All of our employees wear this badge. And because they have the badge and they're an employee, they are entitled to certain benefits. Right?
Right.
You're trying to claim benefits here today, and you're not even one of our employees. And many people today are trying to claim benefits from God. Prayer, bless me, touch me, give me job, heal me, all these different things. And they're not even walking with God. SD Gordon says that prayer is man and God connecting hands together to fulfill a higher end, paraphrasing. And how could we, if we have soiled, dirty hands, try to connect our dirty, soiled hands with God if we're not even willing to connect our hearts with God? I mean, this is the reality of it. This is, wow. This is where America's at. There's 77% of Americans say that they're Christians. That means that 249 million people in this country believe that they're Christians, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Sin. Sin will destroy you. Sin separates. It'll damn your soul to hell. Sin divides. It stains you. It has so many ramifications. It just doesn't hurt you, but it hurts those that are close to you. It's deadly. I mean, it's so. It's like a huge deception, you know. Just take a little, just do it. It's okay, no big deal. You don't want to be old fashioned. No, it's not nothing to do with old fashioned. It has to do with obeying God. And the thing here is that Jesus saves. You know, Jesus can pull us away from that. And John 36, the Word of God says 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. See, God can set you free from the law of sin and death. God can set you free from the bondage of sin. He can set you free from being a slave. Listen, you can be a dressed up slave. You can be a pretty slave. You can be a handsome slave. You can be a rich slave. Listen, a slave is a slave is a slave is a slave is a slave if you're a slave to sin. They come in all types, shapes, colors, and sizes, rich, broke, you name it.
That's right.
There's no one cookie cutter way. They all come in all different ways. And we're talking about whose slave are you? Are you want to be a slave to sin that only leads to being under the dominion and rulership of the enemy? Or you can choose. You can choose to be a slave for Christ. And in Romans 6, this is so interesting. Romans 6, verse 15, you know, Paul writes, and this is really good because this is what verse 15 says, because it's talking about being under the law and sin, and, you know, God forgives sin, so what should we do? Keep sinning? And so this is being addressed in verse 15. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? We're not under the law. Should we sin? Because we're now under grace. And Paul writes, by no means. Don't you know? Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him, read that again. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Think about that. Just don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are a slave to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So you become the slave of whichever the one you obey. So we're asking, whose slave are you?
Right.
See, if you want to follow the ways of unrighteousness and sin, then you can be a slave to sin. And that goes somewhere. See, that leads to what? Death and bondage. Or to obedience, you can be a slave to obedience, which leads to life, freedom, and righteousness. And then he picks up in verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. See, he's addressing Christians here, and he's saying, you used to be a slave mm-hmm. to sin, but what did you do? You obeyed the form of teaching. Christ was being formed in you, right?
Right.
To which you were entrusted, and you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. See, when we decide to walk away from a lifestyle of sin, when we choose to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're breaking away. That bondage is being broken. Those chains are getting weaker. And the Son is setting you free. But, you know, it's the truth that you know that sets you free. It's the obedience that you have in your life, the truth that you know experientially, not the truth that you know in your head. Because you can have head knowledge. You can know all the truth in the world. But until it becomes what?
Heart.
Yeah, heart, practical, lived out, mm-hmm. revealed, manifested.
Mm-hmm.
Said, I'm working on revelation right now. I said, listen, you have revelation when you have manifestation of what was revealed to you in your life. You
know
what
right.
mm-hmm. Look at this revelation. Well, is it manifested? No. Okay, well, keep working on it. It has to manifest. It has to become real in your life. That's how you got. That's how you know you have the revelation. It manifested, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
It showed up.
Fruit.
Exactly. And so he says, listen, you have been set free from sin and therefore become slaves to righteousness. And he says, let me break it down to you. Paul says, I put this in human terms. This is, I'm paraphrasing. Let me break it down to you. Because you were weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity, just how you did that, and to ever increasing wickedness, just how you put all that stuff over there on the wicked side. So now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? See, when you were a slave to sin, when I was a slave to sin, let me tell you something. I was not proud of any of the stuff that I had done. You know, you're ashamed of that stuff. Right. It's like, man, how did I get to this depravity? How did I end up here?
Right.
You don't start off, listen, people don't start off being bound and addicted by drugs and say, you know, that's exactly what I want to be. I want to be bound by drugs. There was, in this documentary, there's a guy on Wall Street, super intelligent guy. He was just talking about all the things he traded and all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And in this documentary, he is going all over Manhattan to get, looking for a hit for drugs. And he was shooting up heroin.
Mm.
And I mean, this guy, he had to have it first thing in the morning. And the documentary is following him. And it was so sad to see him. He wasn't even acting normal. But the minute he had the drug in him, mm-hmm. he was dancing in the street. And he was acting, you know, goofy and you know, lighthearted and stuff like that. And I go, wow. This man lost everything. He says, I'm homeless. He's homeless. He's living in the streets. He was Wall Street. This guy didn't plan to do that.
Mm.
That's how sin is. Sin, you don't plan to do it, but you're overtaken by it. It will destroy you. It's nothing to play with, and it leads to death. But you can be a slave of righteousness by obeying God's word. He says, but now you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. And this is the scripture that most people quote, but it comes at the very end of this whole conversation. And it's verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, sin leads to death, destruction, bondage, and slavery to the devil. But obedience and turning your heart to God causes you to be a slave to God, a slave to righteousness. And being a slave to God means that you come under his dominion. You become what is called a bond servant. Paul, in all his writings, said, listen, I am a bond servant to Christ. He's saying, listen, he is my Lord. He is my master. What he says, I do. Mm-hmm. I don't give myself my own marching orders. Whatever he says, I'm going to do.
Right.
Some people are like, well, I don't want to be dominated. No, you need to be dominated. You need to be dominated by the Lord. You need to be.
Amen.
You need his governing influence in your life. You need your governing. Because listen, if God's not influencing you, who's influencing you? If you're not under God's dominion, whose dominion are you truly under? I mean, it's just things that make you say, you know, whose slave are you? And when we come under that type of lordship and dominion of Christ, we come to be set free. And we've truly begin to start walking out, making Jesus Lord and Savior. And the question you've got to ask yourself is, have you willfully surrendered your life to his lordship? And does his word, you know, does his word, his ways, do they govern your every step? That's what it means to make Jesus the Lord, living in complete submission and surrender to him. When you do that, it allows you to actually be free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one slavery leads you into deep bondage, that's sin, but slavery towards God and his ways leads you to absolute freedom. Listen, you can be at a place where you can make God's word your word. You can make God's ways your ways. But all you have to do is to surrender. That's what you call living for the glory of God is all about. When you're living for the glory of the Lord, you're saying, I don't have, quote unquote, a dog in this fight. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whatever God wants to do, whatever God says about the situation, that's what I want to do because my life is indebted to him. The Bible says that you have been bought with a price. You've actually been bought. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why when we give our lives to him, we just say, God, have your way. Whatever you want to do, have your way. Listen, you have a choice. You have an opportunity. The question is, whose slave are you? Are you going to go down to the way of bondage, of sin, destruction, and death? Or are you going to choose to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Maybe you've been seeking and searching. Maybe you've been hanging around the cross, but you haven't gotten on the cross. You're looking towards the ways of God and maybe trying to apply principles to your life or promises to your life, but you're not in. You're close, but you're not in. And you're just seeking. Listen, it's not enough to seek. You need to be found. You need to be in him and him in you. And you do that when you come to the end of yourself, when you say enough is enough. You know, one of the first things that an addict has to do is to actually admit that they have a problem. They have to deal with what is known as reality.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to come to the point in your life where you come to the point of acknowledging, I have an issue. I'm away from God. See, America is in a huge denial. America right now is saying that I am with God, and they're not. They're not with God. 77% of Americans are saying that they're Christians, and they're not. They're in denial. I remember when I had to come to that point myself, Chris. you know, all this time because I thought this is years ago when I came to the Lord. But I thought because I grew up in a Christian home, yeah, I'm a Christian. I don't, you know, I don't believe that I came from a monkey or nothing like that. And I, Jesus Christ died and all that. You know, that's good with me. You know, I was raised like that. That's
all right. I'm a good person.
I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. You know, I wear a cross. I'm not ashamed of the Bible. No, this is now did I live it? Was God the Lord of my life? Did I accept Him? I was away from God. I was away from God. But I was delusional in my understanding of what I thought going after God was. It was not even biblical.
Right.
And so you got to come to a point where you say, I'm going to deal with reality and I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I want to get the sin out and I want to let Jesus in so I can be a slave of Christ.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
Your adult child is back home. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Dr. Gary Chapman offers these ways that you can help your son or daughter get a job and move toward independence.
If it's a temporary thing, like let's say that they're saving money in order to get an apartment, I think we could say, okay, you can live here free for 6 months, but now after 6 months, we're going to start charging you some rent, and we're going to escalate it every month until we get up to where you can go out and get an apartment, and it's not going to cost you any more than it was costing you here. And that encourages the child and teaches them how to save money and how to move up to pay rent.
Well, if your adult child does move back home with you, you can find ways to give them more independence, but also expect more responsibility from them. And then have a family conference to communicate those expectations up front. That'll avoid unpleasant misunderstandings later. For more trusted advice, stop by focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. And we're talking about whose slave are you? Listen, you can be a slave to sin or a slave to Christ, but you can't be both. You got to pick one. I say choose being a slave to Christ. He will change your life. Jesus will change your life. And when you're a slave to Him, it's actually being set free. Well, you know, we're going to close out the end of the extra hour with an entire segment from Brother Steve Hill. You know, Steve Hill was the evangelist at the Brownsville Outpouring, Brownsville Revival that lasted close to a decade and has still just producing fruit all over the world. And Steve is sharing from his Frontlines program about the bondage of fear, the bondage of fear. And in this interview, he has himself and another evangelist and a guest, Rudy Atala. And Rudy begins to talk about real fear. I mean, things that he witnessed as a young boy growing up in some of the places that he lived and then being in the military and being in some of the most dangerous parts of the world. But people today are coming under attack of fear, and you need to be set free. You know, fear stands for false evidence appearing real. It's false, but it's a tool of the enemy that he uses quite effectively, sad to say, to shut believers down and folks that don't know God from walking in faith and walking in the freedom that's available to them. I want you to listen intently, listen to what Steve has to say about the bondage of fear and how you can be set free.
Daniel Norris.
I want to share with you today a couple of scriptures that have to do with fear. We'll introduce our guest in just a minute. But I have experienced this in my life, an all-consuming fear. And I can see there's a woman right now, you're watching this and you live in a cloud. You live in like this dark cloud and you don't even want to go outside your house. You're afraid to go outside your house. And there's really not a reason for that. But you are in bondage to something that keeps you from freedom, from living a life of what I would call a normal person. Now, it may be legitimate that there's somebody outside the house, or you live in a war-torn country where there's always something going on. But I'm speaking to somebody where there's nothing going on. Ma'am, you just live in a bondage of fear. And today you're going to be released. We're going to pray for you, and you're going to feel the wind of the Holy Ghost blow that cloud away. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now here at Frontlines, when we speak of love, we're speaking of Christ. God is love. Christ is a manifestation of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So he is really the answer to your fear. Now Jesus, when he spoke great, what I would say, delicious scriptures on mercy and love. And then he also spoke some hardcore words to prepare his disciples and to prepare us for the days, weeks, months, years ahead. Because he knew that our lives were not going to be easy. And he knew that the early church was going to have an explosion in the beginning, but later on they were going to experience persecution like they had never seen before. He said things like this. This is recorded in Matthew 24:6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet come. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. I remember when I was a child, air raid sirens going off, and they taught us to hide under our desks and cover our heads, because any minute a bomb was going to go off and kill all the little children. And I remember this legitimate fear, because those were real air raids. And that was a real teacher. And there was a real war, Cold War going on. And we had a real enemy. And we really had to duck and cover or we would die. Later on, I found out it really doesn't matter if you ducked and cover. You're just going to die anyway. But I had this fear. And so we have someone with us today, Rudy Atala. It's such an honor to have you here.
It's an honor to be here.
This man is an incredible warrior. He has faced fear like few of us watching today would ever understand. Nothing like I've gone through. And I've lived in many places of the world. I've been confronted by the KGB in Russia, confronted by the mafia. I've had people that hate me, that said they're going to kill me, had all that kind of stuff. But I've always just sort of leaned on Christ. And Rudy, you have got such a story. And you're going to see Rudy on the air with us several times, because there's really too much to share. But Daniel, I want you just to take off here. And we're going to flow through this broadcast. And let's see some people delivered from fear.
Absolutely. God wants to set you free from fear. And we're joined, as you know, with Rudy Atala. Rudy, you are a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. You travel all around the world, mm-hmm. Really seeking intelligence of what's taking place in some of the areas that nobody would really want to go to. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were to check with the State Department right now, they would list off country after country that is, don't travel. Mm-hmm. You know, go here at risk of your life. What's some of the regions that you've been to that are, you know, would be really frightening to some people?
Wow. Well, I've been to Somalia, West Africa, North Africa, Tunisia as it's changed and it's changing. Lebanon during the war, Syria, literally just different corners of the
planet. Almost every single one of those you name, people can think of times of seeing them on the news.
Correct.
You know, even my little girl, whenever she watches the news, she's like, Daddy, what's going on the television? Those bad people, why are they burning our flag, or why are they fighting in the streets? And, you know, the world is a very chaotic place. Mm-hmm. And so many people can live in fear. And Rudy, your story begins being recruited into the war at how old?
I was 9 years old when I was born in Beirut, Lebanon, to a Christian family and being recruited at a very early age. So
I can't even imagine being nine and a gun placed in your hand and being placed to go out and fight. I mean, when I was nine, I was playing with G.I. Joes,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm just little toys. I wasn't even in my mind even, you know, imagine having to take on such adult responsibility. How frightening was that for a nine-year-old?
Well, when you're in the middle of a civil war and you're experiencing the bombing and the shooting and the killing and you hear a lot of stories and then you look at your parents and your parents are afraid. It's natural as a child to be afraid. And the clincher for me was one day I was coming out of school and my school bus was driving very slow. And I remember looking out the window and I think it was about 10 or 11 at the time. And one side of the street was just covered in blood. And one person was just beheaded in the spot. I remember as a child, all of us looking at each other and fear just grips you. But in one sense, I had to start from an early age of thinking about how do I handle this fear? Because it's easy that to have fear to such a point where you literally are helpless, you stop functioning in your day-to-day activities, afraid to go out because you've seen something so horrific that you don't want it to happen to you. Then you begin to play these scenarios in your mind of what may happen to you. And so at an early age, I had to start putting that to bed. I had to deal with it. And I had to live my life every single day and enjoy it. And it wasn't until years later when I got saved. I moved to the States in 1984 and I got saved and I got to know Christ. And later on, I entered the military. And it was just how to deal. Once I experienced the love of Christ, then I was able to deal with fear on a whole different level.
Right.
I was able to put it to bed, and I always knew that wherever I stepped, I knew Jesus was with me. And that's one thing that helped me walk through those times when it was difficult.
That's two different worlds that you just described. You talked about life before Christ
mm-hmm.
and having to deal with the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talked about life after Christ. Let me go back just because there's a lot of people that are watching right now, and that's your life. You're living it in fear, and you don't have Christ in your life. And so you don't understand what it is that Rudy's even talking about whenever he's sharing the fact that, you know, after Christ, I had a different way of dealing. You're dealing with fear right now. Mm-hmm. Rudy, when you were growing up as a young boy, how did you handle that fear?
Well, as any child, many times I would cry myself to sleep. At times, even I remember as a child, I would, you know, at night I would cover my head hoping that everything would go away, that the world around me would stop. You'd hear the bombings and the shellings. But over time, as I grew older, it's interesting. And I think back, even when I wasn't saved, God was still there.
Right.
The whole time, there was something there that was different. And it was years later, once I got saved, that I truly understood what God was doing in my life.
Right.
Okay, listen, Daniel, you have led us through your questions to a place, it's almost like a landing zone. You're a pilot,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I'm sure there's been times that you've been 40,000 feet up in the air, whatever, but you know in a few minutes you're going to be able to park that aircraft
mm-hmm.
and get out. And the danger zone
mm-hmm.
was like back there.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're landing. And I feel like that's where we're at with this broadcast right now. We've been talking about legitimate fear. Legitimate, 9 years old, covering his head. Yeah. Why? Because of a boogeyman? A fake whatever? No. Because of a television program that he watched? No. Because there was real fighting, real decapitation, real killings going on, streets filled with blood. But ma'am, I'm coming back to you, and there may be a man. This fear that has consumed you is false. It's fake, okay? And you have got to come to the place. We can't make this happen. We can share scriptures, which I've done. We can share scriptures, but you have got to come to the place where you're going to go, you know something? I'm going to go past this. I've lived around revivals, okay? For 20 years of my life, I've been around revivals. And you go to the beginning of some of those revivals and some of the stories of some of these revivalists where it broke out in their nation. There's stories of people that would like go into a city and stand on top of their car in a park and start preaching, and a gang would come up and say, if you're here tomorrow night, si estás aquí mañana, if you're here tomorrow, we're going to kill you. Now, see, this is legitimate fear, but the difference between that man on that car and you is the man on that car says, you know something? Christ is with me. Mm-hmm. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Say that with me at home. Yeah. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And this one particular individual I'm talking about, the gang came back the next night. He was on his car preaching. A dozen men came up, and this was a killing part of town. And they started marching towards him. And he looked at him, and this man was spirit-filled, began speaking in tongues. And whether you believe it or not, you don't have to believe this kind of stuff, folks. It's just real. It's just real. Take your pick. And wham, they were all hit by the power of God. Fell to the ground. And that man's ministry grew to tens, 20, 30, 40,000, 50,000, 60,000, 70,000, 80,000. Amazing. Mm-hmm. But he overcame the fear, Rudy. He broke past that. And that's what you're going to have to do. And that's what you've done. You told me a story about going into a town where everybody said, don't go, because of the enemy that's in there. Mm-hmm. And then you put on your backpack, mm-hmm. and all by yourself, mm-hmm. you go walking into enemy territory. Would to God everyone would be listening right now. There's a war going on, and I'm so tired of you living in the barracks. Mm-hmm. It's time to get into the battle. It's time to leave the barracks and go in. And you've experienced it. You walked right into enemy territory. And talk about God being with you.
Well, it's a choice, and it's a choice that I constantly make and I've made throughout my life. Fear will come, but it's how you deal with it. Knowing the perfection of God's love allows me to look forward to what I'm going to see on the other side, to walk through those areas that are scary, and to know that something better is on the other side. In the midst of the chaos, there's always something better. Instead of having your imagination run wild of what may happen to you, take your imagination to a whole different level and see what will happen when you allow God to move through you and you start seeing people saved, you start seeing lives changed, you start seeing the hungry fed, and you are making a difference because you put your fear aside. You embrace the love of God and you move forward in faith. And when I say you have to walk that walk of faith, the scripture says, but without faith, it is impossible, impossible to please him. So pull up your bootstraps and walk forward. And don't worry about what's going to happen because God's in control. That's, or you believe it or you don't.
That's such a fantastic thing. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go. Mm-hmm. You know, a Christian really has no reason to fear, but yet we allow fear to hold us back. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been all over the world. You've seen people of other faiths that are not afraid or ashamed to advance their cause. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are some of the things that you've seen?
I've seen in Muslim countries for their faith willing to die for their faith. And without even blinking, whether they're shooting or bombing or whatnot, just because they so strongly believe. There are examples, even going back to the days of Vietnam, where Buddhists would light themselves on fire. I mean, typical, who's gonna light themselves on fire just because they're protesting? But yet, because they believed and so convicted,
right.
Fear was not there.
What do you think whenever you see, and you've been around these other religions and other faiths, what do you think their perspective is when they see a Christian who's unwilling, in a sense, to share their faith with a waiter or a waitress or even their next door neighbor? I mean, what do they even think?
Well, in the United States, we have a very vanilla Christianity many times. I see it over and over again. We sit behind our TV. We watch things from a distance. We have two oceans that separate our country, and we feel very comfortable because we have a very powerful military that protects us, and we have our laws. In other countries around the world, it's not the same. And so we sit here, we watch Hollywood movies, and we have these perceptions of what reality is, and we're so far removed from this reality. You need to get back to what the world is really like, and don't worry about tomorrow. Move forward. Enjoy life. Embrace it. There's so much life has to give.
That's one of the things that I heard you say was it was the love that compels.
Absolutely.
Love conquers fear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whenever you allow yourself to be so overwhelmed with love for others,
mm-hmm.
you know, the fear is insignificant. I mean, what are you afraid of? You're afraid they're going to look down on you?
Mm-hmm.
You're afraid they're going to say something about you, you know? I mean, what's the legitimate? There's nothing legitimate. If you really love the person, then you're willing to be bold,
mm-hmm.
to come, share, pray for them. My word, I mean, when somebody says, hey, would you pray for me? Why not stop in the middle of the grocery store where you're at, lay hands on them,
oh, come on,
and pray
man.
For them right
mm-hmm.
there?
We're going to, listen, in one of our broadcasts coming up, I don't know which one, we're going to talk about that boldness.
Yeah.
Because it is time. It is time in America. Those of you watching around the world, I'm ashamed. I am ashamed at this wimpy Christianity. We call ourselves Christians. And I'm not apologizing for America, but I want to tell you, I've got friends in other nations that they'll look down the barrel of a gun
mm-hmm.
and they'll say, I love Jesus.
Yeah.
I love Jesus. And they know within seconds that trigger can be pulled. But as Daniel was sharing, I just felt the Spirit of God, the conviction of Holy Ghost. You have nothing to fear.
Come on.
Here in America, there's nothing to fear. We go into restaurants. What's the big deal, man? Just looking up in the waiter and saying, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? You know what he might do? You know what she might do? She might cuss you out. Dear God, help me. Okay. In other nations, slice their head off. But not here in America. We're ashamed to even open our mouths. Well, Pastor Steve, you're just talking about a small group. No, I'm not talking about a small group. If everyone who believed in Christ in America would begin witnessing and sharing their faith and getting out of this cloud of fear, you're going to start breathing fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start seeing things happen. There's hardly a week that goes by where we're not like this with people. I mean, I got a list of people right now that I got to follow up on. Why? They were in a store, in a restaurant, and we just talked to them about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, those of you that are in that cloud of fear, ma'am,
yeah.
sir, you're living in that cloud. Remember, I said there is no fear in love.
That's right.
I didn't say that. Forgive me. God said that. 1 John 4:18. But perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment.
Mm-hmm.
Torment. Ma'am, walk out of your house. Sir, do the unthinkable. Do the impossible. Do what you said you would never do. Break out of that tormenting, break off that tormenting spirit. Right now, for those of you that are away from Jesus, you don't know the Lord, I want you to pray with me, regardless of what nation you live in, regardless what religious background you have, There's one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. Right now, I want you to pray with me, as millions have. You're not the lone person on planet Earth. People are going to be praying all over the world right now. Pray with me out loud. Say, Dear Jesus, I ask you right now to forgive me. I have sinned. I'm sorry. Wash me, Jesus. Cleanse me. I repent. Be my Savior, my Lord, my very best friend. Right now, in Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of fear in your life. In the name of Jesus, I cast out any demonic spirit that has hovered over you, that has entered you. Right now, in Jesus' name, you, sir, you're demon-possessed, and you know you are. In Jesus' name, I bind that spirit. I bind those spirits. Come out of him in Jesus' name. Free him in Jesus' name. We bind you, Satan. You have no authority in Jesus' name. Sir, you're free. Ma'am, you're free. Now walk in that freedom. Walk in that freedom. Take the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Walk in the Word of God. There's over 8,000 promises in the Bible just for you. Now, we also want you to log on to our website. Our websites, you're seeing Frontlines TV in front of you. SteveHill.org, prodigalsonly.com. Many websites are there just for you. And get the Serious About God Bible study. I have a drug addict right now who's going through this. And it's changing her life. It's changing her life. She's a mainliner going through this Serious About God. If you'll get serious with God, He will get serious with you. Don't miss one of our broadcasts. Rudy, will you be back with us?
I will.
Man, I want to tell you, man, He's got stories that'll shake you, and many of us need to be shaken. God bless you. This is Steve Hill, Daniel Norris, Rudy Atala. Until next time, stay close to the one who died for you.
You're just listening to Steve Hill talking on the front lines about the bondage and the spirit of fear. Let me tell you something. You can be free. Fear is nothing but false evidence appearing real. It's fake. It's fake. Listen, on VFN Radio, we just had an interview with a woman who has been bound. Pat, how many years? How many years was Nicole bound?
It was at least seven.
Seven years. Mm-hmm. Tormented. She couldn't go to the store. She couldn't stay at work at times. Mm-hmm. She couldn't do family activities and friend, you know, be in public a certain time because this fear would be so gripping, it would literally paralyze her, make her sick to her stomach. She'd have to leave work and go home.
Yeah.
And go home because she couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, one day, she was baptized one day, and the next day, she received prayer. And she got delivered.
Mm-hmm. It was actually the same day.
Oh, was it the same day?
Same day.
Got set free. Just like that. Mm-hmm. Just like that. And you got to hear this testimony. It's called Woman Bound by Anxiety. That's what fear is, anxiety. Mm-hmm. Shares a powerful testimony of being set free. You know, the Bible tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in all things by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. Just do not be anxious about anything. Think about that. The last time I heard anything means
anything.
Anything. Thank you for the clarification. Think about it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. So what does God say? Listen, don't be anxious. Don't be fearful about bills, about health, about the future, about wars and rumors of wars. Don't be fearful about those things. Don't be anxious and have that gnawing in the pit of your stomach that is just, you can't sleep at night, you can't go to bed, you can't have one continual straight thought, because as you try to think about something else, this gnawing thing keeps coming back. It's almost like a parasite that wants to eat away at every other thing that you may want to think about. It's saying, I'm here. I'm not going away. I am present. I'm not going away. You got to deal with me. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take your family out. You're going to die of this sickness. You know, you're going to be thrown out your house. You're all this different stuff. And it's an attack. And the more you pay attention to it, the more that you glorify it, the more that you buy into it, you're just making it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You're feeding it. You're feeding it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's designed to make you crippled. It's designed to paralyze you. It's designed to shut you down, or you're not communicating with others. The end result of fear, you're so in your head and you're so attacked, you become an isolationist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really do. You become an isolationist because you're totally consumed. That anxiousness, you're jittery over everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the grip of this demonic spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the grip. And so many people today they're not even living right now the life that they can be free. Nicole testifies and she says, oh my, what am I going to do now? This is what she says. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do now? It's so refreshing. You got to hear this. Let me tell you, it's went all viral all over Facebook. It's been going all over the torch. People are listening to it all over the world because many people are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
They're suffering. Fear has so paralyzed them. They had an encounter, something happened in their life that opened the door to that. And speaking of that, you know, don't allow your children to watch these crazy movies and these crazy shows.
Mm-mm.
Don't invite that in your home. You're inviting the spirit of fear to attach itself to these movies, and you're allowing that thing to come right into your living room, right into your home. And why is it that, you know, you can't even, you know, have peace in the house?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's kids running around totally fearful.
Right.
You know, I remember my daughter was spending some time with one of her little friends, and I guess, and at home they were watching the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, and I didn't know what she was saying because they gave the name the Incredible Hulk a Spanish name. They were calling it Spanish, but she kept saying to me the word in Spanish. I'm thinking, what is she saying? I have no idea. What is she saying?
Uh-huh.
And Cucu verde means like a green monster. Green monster is what she kept telling me.
Mm-hmm.
And one day it was, I guess, a commercial or something came on, and she points it and she goes, "Cucu verde," you know, which means, you know, green Hulk or green monster.
Mm-hmm.
And she said the word fear. Where did she learn that? She's 3 years old. I didn't tell her that. I didn't teach her that.
Wow.
Where did that comes in? And even at a young age like that, you can take authority over that thing. Pray for your child. Pray for your family members. Say, in the name of Jesus, fear, go. And you're seeing a trend where many believers are always seems to be asking for prayers of others. Let me tell you something. You can pray for yourself right there, wherever you're at. You can give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, God, I want to make you the Lord of my life so I don't fear anything, because perfect love casts off fear.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.